If even the Son of God struggled to know the will of God, his Father, it's okay if you struggle too. You're going to struggle. But what Jesus did, you should also do. Take that to God in prayer.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we explore God's will and what it means for our lives. Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren, sharing biblical truths and answering the question, how do we know what God's will is? Thanks for listening.
How do you know what God's will is? There's, again, that power of wanting God on your side, of doing things in His name, of praying and knowing that the answer coming to you is from God. And that is very significant. That makes the difference between joy and guilt, between success and failure, even between life and death. And so today, we want to answer that question. How do you know what God's will is? And we go to Jesus, who Himself prayed to His Heavenly Father, "Your will be done." And then taught us the Lord's Prayer and taught us to say the same thing, "Your will be done." And so I'm taking a section of the Bible book of James today, and we're going to look at this section. I'm going to read it for you now, and it's very instructive about how we pray related to God's will. And it says this in James 4:13-17. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.' Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them." So let me get real personal, real quick here with this question. And the question is, how do you know what God's will is? How do you know what God's will is? That's the question. Are you one of those people who has said after a tragic accident caused by some person because of their bad behavior, "Oh, I guess it was just God's will"? No, that's not. It's not God's will for anyone to sin and then hurt other people. Are you maybe agreeable to this fact that God has chosen your soulmate? And that if you're single, your soulmate, he or she is out there somewhere, and you have to find him or her. That's God's choice for whom you'll marry. Or if you're married, God has chosen your spouse. If you're divorced and remarried, which of your spouses did God choose? God doesn't choose our spouse. God's will is not that he has from eternity appointed a soulmate for you. God gives you directions in general for finding a person who's a match for you, but he doesn't make the decision for you. And then don't go out next week and guys, tell your wife that God told you that it's God's will that you buy the new car, the new truck, because you were thinking about it and praying about it. And the very day that you were thinking about it and praying about it, and you ask God, "Should I buy this new car? Should I buy this new truck?" On the radio, you heard a commercial that said you should buy a new car. Well, there you have it. It's God's will. Yeah, don't go there. See, that's not God's will. So how do you know God's will? Here's what God says. We need to listen to this carefully, right? He says here in James, "You are a mist." And so God compares us to a fog. When we're seeking to know his will that we may not necessarily be able to know, God compares us to a fog. And what happens in a fog? Two things. Number one, you can't see clearly. And number two, a fog isn't permanent. The morning sun eventually burns it away. And so when you and I make decisions thinking that we know God's will, even though we can't know it, God says we are like a fog. That makes things even more unclear and uncertain. And number two, it's temporary. It's just going to burn away. It's going to go away. we'll make a decision about something and it's our decision, not necessarily God's. And so we're like this fog. God says, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. In other words, we're not that good at knowing the future, knowing God's will for the future. We're certainly not as good as God. And God is saying, that's okay. That's actually good that we admit this, because we put way too much pressure on ourselves to know what God does not expect us to know or want us to know. So it's beautiful permission from God. That God says, you don't have to climb in my mind and read it. You don't have to know my will for you. I don't expect you to know it. So we should let God be God and don't try to be as good as he is at knowing these things. And there's just a beautiful promise in that response from God, such mercy as God gives us permission to not know his will. It's okay, he says. You do not need that kind of responsibility and control. You can't handle that kind of responsibility and control. And God says, I can. I do handle it. I will handle it. And then remember, Jesus says we should be like the birds who don't know everything about God's will. They don't build barns. They just sing happily and trust God, and God daily provides. So is there anything about God's will that he does expect you to know? Anything about God's desires, plans that God does expect you to know? Absolutely yes. So how do you know what God's will is? God's will. Before I answer that, we need to understand this. There's a difference between God's will and your and my will. And we're going to look at that first, the difference between God's will and your will and my will, God's will and people's will. And it talks about this in James 4, where God is discouraging us from assuming that we can climb into his mind and know his will, and says this, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So God uses a few words here to describe the way that our will naturally operates. He used the word arrogant. That means it's all about me. He used the word schemes, meaning I tend to manipulate and make arrangements to get what I want. And then he says we boast about it. So we're sinfully proud of our manipulative me-first plans and purposes that succeed. And we take that as a sign of God's approval, all the while missing out on the true good that God wants for us. This, God says, is evil and a sin. So, hey, I don't know about you, but that makes me very scared of my will. And it brings me to my knees in repentance to say, I'm sorry, God, I think I know so much more than you sometimes, and that I can do so much more than you. And now what does God want? What is God's will for sinners who boast in arrogant schemes of evil and sin? First, again, we need to acknowledge the difference between God's will and the human will. And the human will, by nature, by instinct, is survival and selfishness. So by instinct, my will wants to take care of me before it takes care of you. That's the human will. God's will, by his character, by his essence, wants to take care of you and me. By his love, by his salvation, by his promises, God's will is shaped by his love for you. Human will is shaped by self-love. And so let's look at what God's will really is here. There's two beautiful verses. One of them from John chapter 6, where Jesus says this, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son of God, and believes in him will have eternal life. So this is great from Jesus. So Jesus says, instead of you needing to look into a crystal ball, or you needing to look at your horoscope, are you needing to look deep down in your own desires, as flawed as they are, as foggy as they are, Jesus says, you don't have to look there to find God's will. Jesus says, just look at me. Look to me and believe. Look to me, Jesus says. I kept my Father's will perfectly. I yielded to my Father in everything, and I died for you. I went to the cross for you. I suffered for your sin so that you are forgiven. And God's mercy and grace is on you because of me, Jesus says. So he says, look at that. Look at me more than looking elsewhere to try to find God's will. So that's God's will for everyone, that we look to Jesus and we're saved. And then we have this beautiful, full, eternal life from Jesus because of it. Here's the promise in that. Listen to this. There's nothing for you to figure out. It's not like there's this formula and you have to put the pieces together to discover what God's will really is, and then finally, life will be good and you'll get it right. There are no plans, hidden plans of God that he demands you have to discover. There's no mystery you have to solve. There's no spreadsheet that you have to fill in all the boxes for the future and have just right. There's no research. There's no plan you have to know. Jesus says, just look to me, your Savior. Secondly, there's another verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this talks about living this life that Jesus has given to us, this full life, this eternal life. God has a will about that, and it uses that term in this verse. It says this, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and to us. He says, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified means set apart as special. And so God is saying in his word, here's my will for you. I want you to know how special I have made you to be, how special I see you to be, how special you are to me, how set apart and special you are. I want you to know that more than anything. That's my will, that you know and believe that. And then once we believe that, God's will is that we make him just as special to us, that we live our lives given to us as a gift from God, that we put him first and that we live our lives for him. Let me just illustrate all this with a story, okay? This can hopefully make it clear for us. It's a story about a girl named Stacy and her dog named Buster. So knowing God's will and practicing God's will is very much like a relationship between Stacy, the dog owner, and the dog Buster. And they love each other, and they spend quality time with each other, and Stacy takes care of Buster, and Buster is committed to Stacy as a faithful friend and companion, and they hang out and they go to the park one weekend, and it's a busy weekend. There's a lot of people and pets around, and they're playing fetch and having a good time together. And Stacy and Buster get separated, and Buster gets lost. Buster gets directions mixed up and people mixed up, and Stacy loses sight of Buster, and they are separated. So Stacy has not trained Buster in a very special, instructive kind of will that she would expect Buster to know. Like, if we get lost, you do this, then this, then this. You call 911, you do. There are no instructions. There's no will of Stacy for Buster to know in that circumstance. So she's starting to feel a bit hopeless. She's starting to fear that they're separated forever. Except there are a few things that Buster knows that help in that situation. And one of them is this. Buster remembers where they parked because Buster has a keen sense of smell and remembers that they parked near the concession stand. And so Buster follows Buster's nose and smells the funnel cakes and the hot dogs and goes toward them and ends up back at the car. Stacy looks and looks and searches and yells Buster's name, oh, where are you? And doesn't find Buster, and so Stacy ends up back in the car, and they meet, and she finds him and gives Buster a big hug and says, oh, how did you find me? See that? So there were no specific instructions, specific will that Buster followed. Just a general understanding of Stacy's provision and care and love, going back to the car, hoping that would take care of it. And just some knowledge about the concession stand and the smell. Okay, so what does that story teach us about God's will? Same thing holds true for us. And what I want to talk about now is God's moral will and his providential will. Okay, so God's moral will is like the instructions that Stacy would give to Buster. It's like training a dog to be obedient. That's God's moral will. His moral will is revealed in the Bible. God has morality for us, and he has expectations, his commands, the Ten Commandments, his expectations, when God tells us what he wants to do or instructs us how to do something. That's all God's moral will, and it's revealed. He wants us to know it, just like a dog owner wants their dog to obey specific instructions. Don't sit there. You can sit there. Eat this, not that. You can sleep here, not there. You can make this noise at this time, but not those are all instructions, moral will. And God expects us that we know those. Now, the other kind of will of God is his providential will. In his providential will, he doesn't expect us to know. There's bits and pieces of it that we might know and bits and pieces that he might reveal, especially when it comes to salvation, his promises, heaven. But it doesn't reveal exactly all the details of heaven. His care for us, but he doesn't reveal every ounce of his care, how far it will go. You know, so God doesn't reveal his entire providential will like he does his moral will. Buster didn't know Stacy's entire providential will. He didn't know her plan for how to get together again after they were lost, but because of this general trust in Stacy, this relationship that they had, Buster was able to meet her back at the car and it all went well. So you have this trust in God. He's given you his promises when it comes to salvation through Jesus Christ, that you are his child, that he forgives you, that he loves you, that he has mercy on you, that he answers your prayer, that he has heaven waiting for you. You have all these promises. Within the umbrella of those promises are very specific wills and desires of God that he doesn't tell you. He doesn't expect you to know. But keep a relationship with him strong. That's extremely important for you to know how to live under God's will. So let's ask this question a third time, a third way. How do you know what God's will is? How do you know? How do you know what God's will is? Okay, two things there. One, how do you know what God's will is? Stay tuned to God's revealed will in the Bible, his moral will, and his promises of salvation. When you know those, you can be certain and strong and standing firm that you truly know what God's will is. If you dabble in the area of God's hidden will, his providential will, specific details about tomorrow, the future that you don't know, it's not going to be certain. So don't pretend to be certain or claim 100% certainty. Secondly, how do you know what God's will is? Understand that God doesn't necessarily expect you to know all the details of his will. And he does not expect to make the decisions for you. So he knows that you don't know all the details of his will. He gives you general promises, his moral will, and then he gives these to you and expects you to make a decision about how strong your coffee is in the morning. He doesn't decide for you. He expects you to make a decision. Are you going to turn right or left? Are you going to wear plaid or stripes? Are you going to date this guy? Are you going to date that gal? General moral will, live your life according to it. But in those specific areas of God's providence, he wants you to make a decision. And so don't beat yourself up that you don't know what God wants you to do, because he leaves it up to you and you're free to decide. So that has impact, and I think freedom and grace and permission for you. And here's what it looks like in your prayer life. Okay, ask God about his will, but make sure that you are praying with a commitment to the revealed will of God that you already know. So it could look something like this. God, thank you for the job offer I received. God, I know how you promised to take care of me and give me everything I need at all times. But God, I'm not sure which direction I should go. The job offer seems like it's expecting too much of me and not giving me enough in salary. So God, what's your will? What should I do, God? I trust you, God, to lead the way. I know, God, you want to stretch me and make me grow stronger. And so I'm going to pray about this, God, and think about this. And God, I trust you to lead the way. And I will yield to God. I will yield to you, God, no matter what. In Jesus' name, God, I pray. Amen. That's what it looks like to pray for God's will and not make assumptions about it. You know, there's someone else who prayed a similar prayer to that, And it was Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when he prayed these words? Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Now, this is the Son of God who knows all things, and yet he chose to limit himself as a human being. So if even the Son of God struggled to know the will of God, his Father, it's okay if you struggle too. You're going to struggle. But what Jesus did, you should also do. Take that to God in prayer and state this in your prayer. Make this very clear. God, I yield to you. God, I submit to your will. What you want for me, God, is more important than what I want. And then pray with the faith and courage to accept that from God. And just as Jesus accepted it, and when he did, he saved you because of it. So when you, by faith, accept God's will, it's so divine, so full of life, so much God's way. And Jesus gives you the ability to do that in just the way that he prayed. We've covered a lot today. I want to wrap it up now with a verse, with a promise that many Christians turn to when it comes to God's will and his plans for you. And that's from Jeremiah chapter 29. It says this. God is speaking. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Okay, so God says, I know the plans I have. It is not your job to know God's plans. He doesn't expect you to know God's plans. It's God's job to know God's plans. What's your job? Your job is to, God says, you will call on me and come and pray to me, seek me and find me. God knows his plans, his will. God knows. You don't have to know. Beyond what he tells you, you don't have to know. God knows. You seek God. You don't seek circumstances more than God. You don't seek even your answers to prayer more than you seek God. You don't seek his gifts, his provisions, his blessings more than God. But God says, seek me. So God's job is to know. Your job is to seek God. And he promises that when you seek him more than circumstances, more than answers to prayer, you seek him and connect yourself to him by faith and want more of him, you will find him. He's there. And when you, in faith, find God, his will is not far behind. Amen. Let's pray. God, your will is strong and it's powerful and it's perfect. And as we've seen today, there are people who want to say that they're doing your will, but they're really not. God, there's times where we've done the same thing. We ask you to forgive us, have mercy on us, and by your word today, by your teaching, Lord, we ask that that we follow your will. The will of God that we know, Lord, from the scriptures that you reveal to us, and your will that we don't, as we seek you, Lord, and you lead the way. Bless all of us who struggle, even like Jesus did, who struggle and want to know your will, God, want to live by it. Help us to know and understand your scriptures, Lord, that you reveal to us. And thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who himself struggled for your will, Father, but who lived it out completely for us. We pray that we may do your will just as Jesus did and just as the angels in heaven. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.